This segment, let's talk television.
Yeah, unlike you, Junior, and it seems like everybody else on this station, I feel like I am way behind when it comes to watching shows on whatever it is, Apple, Netflix, whatever streaming service that you like to go to.
Hulu,
whatever. I do have a couple of shows that I follow. Shrinking, I'm almost caught up on that. I think that's really, really good. There's so much good stuff out there, as we've talked about many times. It's almost overwhelming. But I did have a couple of questions and some observations about a recent show that I binged-watched. Number one, is Netflix starting to promote shows that were around before the pandemic where their numbers just went through the roof? Because recently, it shows up on my, you know, recommended list, 11-22-63. And a couple of things here. Number one, it shows how skewed I am with time. I thought, yeah, that came out like 4 years ago. I think I've seen that.
That's the miniseries that covers the Kennedy assassination and James Franco starred in it.
Yes, based on the
time travel
novel. Yes. And I thought, man, I thought I saw that. I was like from 4 years ago. Well, then I discovered that it was from 2016. That's how long ago that came out. But have you heard that?
10 years ago.
Yeah. Have you heard that some of these services are starting to re-promote shows from like a decade ago?
No, but it makes sense because those shows exit your, you know, they exit your attention. And if it's a good show, why not throw it back up in the recommended list again? And I've seen it recommended in my list.
Okay.
Recently. So yeah, they decide, hey, let's get some more mileage out of these projects that we've produced.
Well, because it just kept coming up, I thought, okay, well, maybe they've done a second season to it. What is going on with this? There's 8 episodes. It was made in 2016. So I brought up the first episode and watched it and finished it in 2 days because I thought it was so good I couldn't stop watching.
You finished the whole series?
Yes. And I thought it was great.
Okay.
And it made me think several things. Number one, Gordo, did you actually read all of, you finished the book? Isn't it like 700 pages?
Yeah, it's a long-ass book, and I read the whole thing.
Wow, that's impressive.
And had opinions.
Okay. And did you watch the whole series?
And I watched the whole series.
I have a feeling you didn't like it as much as I did. Maybe you're too close to it and you're too much of a JFK. The premise is that James Franco, the guy who plays the lead, he has a friend. James Franco is a teacher. He has a friend who runs a diner, this place that he always goes. And he shows James Franco that he can go into this time capsule and he can go back in time just by walking into this closet. And it turns
it's
out
so flimsy.
It's really flimsy. And as he tries to explain it to him, you could imagine James Franco's like, what? That's ridiculous. But sure enough, you go back in this closet into the darkness, and all of a sudden you're back in 1960. And you can stay there for as long as you want, and only 2 minutes of real time go by. So this guy who runs the diner, who's played by Chris Cooper, has been in a bunch of stuff. He's really good. And he wants to go back and change history, and he's kind of fed up with the modern-day world. He thinks it would be a better world had JFK remained president for a couple of terms, and maybe Vietnam wouldn't have happened, and it would have been a better world for us all to live in. So he has the idea to prevent the assassination of JFK, and it's more than just going back and killing Oswald. He wanted to make sure that Oswald was the guy to get because maybe it was a conspiracy, and he needed to knock out a few people if he was going to go back to 1963. But the way it was shot, when they would go back to 1960 and then 61 and 62 and 63.
I love walking around in those old worlds.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I thought it was just so well done that you were right with them just stepping back into 1963. It was really, really good. And I'm a sucker for that, too. I'm a sucker for history, and I'm a sucker for time travel. Clearly, we're time traveling here in this.
I didn't realize you liked time travel movies.
Yeah. I love that. And if you haven't watched it, if you missed it over the last 10 years, if you want to get your partner to watch along with. There's a love story, which I think is a beautiful love story that is in this.
All right, safe space. And yes,
here we go.
I realize that he's Stephen King. He's pretty successful. I wrote a column for our local newspaper. So
there's those the comparisons.
Yes, yes. I mean, he knows it much more than I do. I remember reading 11/22/63, the 800 pages or so of it, and thinking, wow, Stephen King needs an editor. I mean, it's the first part of it is page turner. I mean, you're so into it, even though it's a flimsy premise, you're so invested into it. And Stephen King is so great at that kind of stuff. And in the middle, that book just dragged so badly when he's stuck in that small town and he's doing that. He needed to edit it down and focus it more. And it felt like they could have taken 300 pages out of that book and made it better. But this happens to a lot of writers. They get so much power that they don't get edited the way that they would earlier in their career, because it's like, well, it's Stephen King. You don't edit Stephen King.
The series just had maybe a half an episode that was stuck in Kentucky.
Right.
But that was really interesting too, that he tried to help this friend of his who was taking classes from him as an adult, mm-hmm. who had a terrible traumatic event in his life that he tried to prevent. And that was a cool element of it, too. If you go back and you fix one thing, what does it do for the future? I think that's
right.
Fascinating.
The ripple effect.
What if?
By the way, P1 Jody says it was originally a Hulu show, and Netflix just got the rights to it in January.
That's why it's come back.
That's why you're seeing it promoted on Netflix now.
Okay. So you did watch it on Hulu then.
Yeah, I guess okay. so. Okay. And which is a great racket for these streaming services.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet
you
it
just
does
sell
pretty
it,
well.
Repackage it on another streaming service, and then it can go back to another one, and then things will get watched over and over and over again.
Okay, that solves that mystery, because I was wondering, man, why are they promoting a show that's 10 years old so much, to the point where I thought they had made some extra episodes, but there's just 8, so it'll only take you a couple of days, and if you do like history, and even if you're 1/100th as into the JFK assassination as Gordo is.
I'm not that into it.
How about all that? My knowledge of the events of 11/22/63, it looks like there are a lot of historic things that are dead on in this thing.
Yeah, and it's been so long since I've seen it, I can't remember what I thought about that element of it. I do know that, and I told the story on the air when it happened, you know, I ran into Stephen King on a street in Boston.
That's right.
When I was on vacation up there, and no one recognized him. He was just this old man walking down the street, and I got my picture made with him and so on. But it was at the time when he was writing 11/22/63.
Oh, wow.
And he and I talked about me being from Texas and so on, but he never brought that up, and I couldn't imagine how great it would have been had I known that he was writing a book on Oswald at the time, and we had had a conversation about Oswald.
You could have affected today's reality. You could have told him just sometimes less is more.
Yeah, and I could have affected the writing of that book.
I wish I could have run into Larry McMurtry and talked to him about Lonesome Dove.
Whoa, hey, man. Why does he take a stray during this conversation?
That also needed 300 pages edited out.
Whoa.
You didn't even finish that book.
No, I didn't.
I finished the King book, so I can comment on the whole thing.
I couldn't finish Lonesome Dove. It would have killed me.
Taking your whole life. You. Okay, but is it good or bad? It may teeter on this thing. How good is the guy who plays Oswald? I think he's pretty good, and I don't know what it is about, and both Gordo and I are fascinated, whoever plays Oswald, the accent they give him. So let's see. God, what is this guy's name? Well, let's play it, and then we'll tell you who he is.
I want to see Agent Hosty. See him right now.
You have an appointment?
Did he make an appointment when he came by my home to harass my wife while I wasn't there? More than once. Did he make an appointment when he followed me outside of my workplace or to bug my house? I thought that this was the United States of America. The right to privacy. You ever hear of that one?
Man, I watched that scene like 8 times just because it was
so strange.
It was extended Oswald. And I thought Daniel Weber, who played him, did a great job. He made him seem like just a real psychopath that you didn't know what he was going to do next. It was really, really good, and the time travel aspect of it, just the event itself. I'm pretty much a sucker for that, not to the degree that Gordo is. But a lot of that matched up with the things you've told us over the years. Marina and Lee Harvey's last night together before he went into...
I know, I've told you.
It all matched up.
And I could have given Stephen King so much great stuff. And he had an expert right there at his disposal, and he didn't avail himself of it. That's probably the biggest mistake Stephen King ever made.
Some of the scenes, they were supposed to be in a small town outside of Dallas, and it was a fictional...
And there
were
mountains
fictional,
in the background.
Yeah, it didn't really... pine trees, and it didn't really match
and
up.
The Pacific Ocean
so
right there.
So if you live here, well, the Pacific Ocean, but it didn't necessarily look like... this area around Dallas, even in 1963, it just didn't match up.
But
very
I
well.
Believe they did film in Dealey Plaza.
They did. They did. And that was really cool. And I guess they did some of this through AI, but you don't see any of the, you don't see the modern 35. And so much of that has, I guess the triple underpass is pretty much
yeah, that's
like
pretty
it
much
was
the same.
In 1963.
It is.
It's been out for 10 years, so I'm not going to give you any spoilers, although I probably could, because if you wanted to see it...
Give you a hint. Kennedy dies in it at some point.
Well, in one of the simulations, maybe he doesn't.
That's right.
I thought that was a great scene, too.
But you see what happened.
Yeah, it's good. It's worth watching. It's 10 years old, for gosh sakes, but apparently re-released on Netflix, and a good 11/22/63.
Maybe this is the year on the anniversary we'll rent a bus again and I'll do the Gordon tour guide.
That was great.
Through,
yeah.
Through
that was
Oswald's.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oswald's, what I call it, the run of shame that he made after he did that horrible deed.
I drove bus.
I think you called it the road to glory.
No, it was not. It was not the road to glory.
And the thing is, you know all the addresses of where he lived.
I know none of the addresses. 1026 North Beckley. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. 214 Neely. What? What is just said?
Well, maybe go back and rewatch it, Gordo, since you got nothing better to do outside
of
YouTube videos.
Because it doesn't get some things right.
Radiator hose. Why don't you watch 11/22/63
one more time? Wait, what did you just say?